good morning, everybody. Let's stand together as we worship him.
We have in Jesus, he's to us.
welcome somebody this morning. I'm glad to see them in the house of God. Amen.
Power that can break off every chain.
about that this morning. Amen. Let me tell you, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Y'all sing this with us. only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
Amen. First, before I begin sharing what it is the Lord has placed upon my heart, let me give some thank yous. Amen. First, before I begin sharing what it is the Lord has placed upon my heart, let me give some thank yous. I get this from my mother. I want to thank Jesus for loving me. About 30 years ago, I about checked out of this world. And Jesus saved me. And I can't go a day without thanking Him for what He's done. I want to thank Leon King, because without that family, the first year we came 15 years ago, I'm not sure what direction we would have went. And because of this tournament, there's been a lot of things that have happened in 15 years that I've been coming, and a lot of lives have been touched. I want to thank Mr. and Miss Edge, Mr. and Miss Parrot as well, because they're just awesome. If they're here and here, you're all awesome. Their kids are wonderful. I saw them over here singing. An amazing, amazing families. Brother and Sister Bauer, Brother Harold, Brother Bob and Becky, what they do, the tournament. It's amazing the family that we do have, and this is why we keep coming. It's more than softball. To all the softball teams that are here that absolutely pounded us yesterday, thanks. Each and every team that we've met and played and stories that have come with it that we share, the Florida team last year was absolutely amazing. Just to be able to experience what we did, it was an amazing time last year. To Brad and Alexis for last night, and may the Lord be with them, and to a good buddy of mine that buried his mother this week, DP. DP and Janet. He buried his mom just the other day. But to my family, I want you to see this crew that's about to stand up. My immediate family that's here right now. I can see the golden child down there, the to-be son-in-law, Nikki, Trinity, Willow, the granddaughter, Livia, Isaiah, Lauren. There's Josh, my in-laws, and my wife. Thank you all. You all stand up. That's my crew right there. Couldn't do it without them. I have my orders, so I'm on the clock. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." When they asked me to preach, I told them, I said, the only condition I have is you have to pray. I'm not just going to do it because I'm here. I don't want to just do it to get up here. I'm not here to prove anything. But the simple fact that Jesus is speaking to somebody in here today. And you've been wondering, God, do you listen to me? God, are you here? And He's here. I asked them to pray very specifically for the simple reason that I'm sure that in this crowd there's someone that is looking at things just in the horizontal realm. And the first thing that I want you to understand today is you need to get vertical. Yeah. You need to get vertical. I used to have a vertical. And nowadays, I don't have that vertical anymore. Vertical describes something that rises straight up from a horizontal line or plane. Something that rises straight up from a horizontal plane. And if we don't get vertical, then you're going to stay on a horizontal plane and you're going to stay in a place where you're going to miss the mark. I, for the last 4 years, have been a substance abuse counselor. For some reason, in my 40s, I decided it's a good time to go back to school. Here I am 2 years later, and I see the end of the tunnel. The light is coming quickly. Just the other day, I work in a jail. Just the other day, I was at work, and one of the guys was with me, and we were doing some laundry to take back to their cells and in their pods. And there were some other inmates that are not in the program that we were in, and they were coming out of the door. And the guy that was in my group, he looked at me, and from a sincere heart, he said, "The streets are winning. The streets are winning." And my heart sunk. How in the world, and why in the world, are the streets winning? Why is it that there are so many people that can't see beyond the fear, that can't see beyond the things that are in this world? Why is it that so many people are wrapped up in so many different things, and that somebody could honestly say from a sincere heart, the streets are winning? It hit me. He sang that song, "I Began to Cry," a while ago, "Only Jesus." That described me when I was younger, because my dream all of my life, I was a basketball player, my dream all of my life was to play on the floor of Rupp Arena. You all don't know what a dream that is for a Kentucky boy. All my life I wanted to walk out on that floor, because in the high school tournament, that's where they played it. Sometimes they went to that other place that I won't even mention, but then they changed it now. It's just at Rupp Arena. All of my life, that's what I wanted to do. All my life I wanted to have that glory, to obtain that trophy. But in turn, I was only able to play 2 years of college basketball because at the age of 20, God called me to preach. He called me a lot earlier, and I'm not going into that story, but he called me a lot earlier, and I ran, but at the age of 20, I became a pastor. There were 8 people in the church. Between now and then, God did some things in my heart, and I realized today it's not about me. It's not about you. It's only Jesus. So you're on this horizontal plane right now, and you're here, and you're whoever it is. I think it may just be only one person. It may be 2, it may be 3, it may be 4 or 5, but you're sitting here today, and you're saying, God, I really need you to do something. Nobody else knows. Nobody else sees. Or it may be that you're here today and a lot of people know what you're going through and what's going on in your life, but it is time to get vertical. I don't know about you, but in our county that we live in, there are 40 plus churches in our county. There are 13,000 people in our county. There are 40 plus churches. The streets are winning. Why is it that the streets are winning? There's a horizontal hindrance going on in your life. Number one, busyness. Are there any busy people in here today? Busyness. Mary listened while Martha was busy. Mary listened and paid attention to who was in the house, and Martha was busy. Number two, circumstances. Lazarus has been there for days. He is dead and in the grave. The circumstance says there's no way that Jesus, you can do anything with that. The circumstances speak out in your life, and you're saying right now that God is not able to do something in your life because of what your circumstances are speaking to you.
Go ahead.
Which leads to fear. Substance abuse is surrounded by fear. People that really are fighting to get over something that is going on in their life that leads to fear. And the number one thing that they tell me all the time, I'm afraid of going back. I'm afraid of going into that mess again. And I know that in me, I want to go back to the mess. Busyness, circumstances, fear. Now, Christian, let me just put this in for good measure. All the Christians in the place. Something that keeps us from going vertical is losing our awe. Have you ever lost your awe? Have you ever? Have you ever just got used to coming to church? Have you ever got to the place where, well, yeah, the Bible, I see it here, man, it's great, but you know that John 3:16 doesn't do anything anymore. Doesn't get me pumped up. It doesn't get me excited. You lose your awe. You begin to get busy, you begin to look at your circumstances, you begin to look at all the fears, and before you know it, you lose your awe of who He is. You lose your awe of what He's done. Do you realize that Jesus came down here? And who did He come for? He came for you. He came for me. Everybody just now should have went, yeah. We've lost our awe. It's become too familiar. For those of you that are excited today, and for those of you who've been raising your hands praising the Lord, just keep your excitement. But don't let anybody ever take your song. Don't let the enemy come in and take the awe from your heart. Don't let the enemy come in and get you so wrapped up in other stuff that you forget who Jesus is for you. Jesus paid an ultimate price. He was willing to come down here. He was willing to lay down His life. He was willing to stretch out His arms. He was willing to have nails driven through His feet. Why? Because He loves me. Me? My eyes have seen a lot of things. I've witnessed a lot of different scenery from the East Coast to the West. Other lands across. It's amazing what God has done. But if you lose your awe, if you lose what it is that God is trying to put in your heart and life, then I'm telling you, friend, it is going to get frustrating in your life. I want you to listen to these verses. Psalm 145. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Everybody say all.
All.
And He raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all that wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God does that. Every single day, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. All you have to do today, and I'm not joking, this is not a joke, this is not funny. All you have to do is say, Jesus. Jesus, please. Jesus found me at a place where I said, God, I'm done. I'm tired of it. All those that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Are we fool, or has it become familiar? I've been reading a book called The Dangerous Calling, and here's what it says about the awe of God. The awe of God should be the reason I do what I do with my thoughts. It should be the reason I desire what I desire. Awe of God should be the reason I treat my wife the way I do and parent my children the way I do. It should be the reason I function the way I do at my job. It should be the how I handle my finances along the way. It should structure the way I think about possessions and position and power. The awe of God should shape and motivate my relationship with my family and my neighbors. The awe of God should give direction to the way I live as a citizen in the community that I'm in. It should form the way that I think about myself and my expectations of others. The awe of God should lift me out of my darkest moments of discouragement and be the source of my most exuberant celebration. The awe of God should make me more self-aware and more mournful of my sin, while it takes me more patient with and tender toward the weakness of others. The awe of God is meant to rule every domain of my existence. The awe of God. If you can't walk out every morning and see the wonderful things that God has done, then you're still on that horizontal plane. Let's get vertical. So you're saying, Brother Stephen, I hear you. My life is full of worries. My life is full of hassles. My life is full of distractions. My life is full of deadlines. There's angry people in the lines. And if you only knew my family, if you only knew what I have to deal with, how can I, in the middle of this hectic life, have time to go, wow? It's all in the heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Christ has called us into a new life. Christ has called you into a new walk. You don't have to have the same fears. You don't have to hold on to the old things. You don't have to look back to the past. You don't have to look back and say, man, I wish I didn't do that. You can get to a place of acceptance and say, man, yeah, it shaped who I am today, but I'm no longer there. I'm moving somewhere else. I'm going into a different direction. I'm not worried about the things that are going on around me. I'm not worried about this horizontal stuff. Yes, I'm involved in it, but man, I'm looking up today. I'm looking up from where my salvation comes. I'm not worried about the fear anymore. I'm not worried about the enemy anymore. I'm not worried about what I used to be. I'm new. Old attitudes won't do. Old selfish us won't do. We have to have a change. There has to be a shift. Christ has made it possible. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Uh-oh. Take up that cross daily and follow me. Our selfishness has to go. Our self-glory has to die. Our self-will has to be placed at the cross. Do we want to be different? Do you want today to be born again? Do you want to be at a place where you know without a doubt and full assurance that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Then all you have to do, Jesus, I've messed up. Come to me. Forgive me. It's no joke when in substance abuse, they say the number one thing is to admit that there is a problem. Church, Christians, there's a problem. And every single day in our state, every single day in Kentucky, there are people checking out, leaving this world, just because of substance abuse. And it's a trap. And there may be somebody here who says, yep, I'm struggling with it. Or there may be somebody here that's saying, you know, I'm not a Christian. God's dealing with me. Today's that day. Do we want to be different? Do we want to change? If we don't, Christians, church people, all you Christians that are gathered here today, if we don't come together, that's why I love this place. All the states, all the amazing people, all the great ball players. But man, more than anything, even Will Ferrell's here. Sweet. I bet he hates that. But above all those things, I've never come into this service and not felt God speak to me. I don't come here today with anything fancy. I just come here to tell you, Jesus truly loves you. Man, I did it. I'm not a singer and I'm not going to sing a song, but I want you to listen to these words. And I'm done. I did it. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory to victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Yet we dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who vanquish fool, a crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Those in the horizontal plane right now, please stand up for Jesus. They need you out there. And they're dying. And you brothers and sisters, stand up and lift that banner and let the gospel go out. They need you. And if you don't know Jesus today, this is the best day. Today.
With us.
God, you're so good.
more time, just the voices. God.